I've had this question for years. Why didn't Saul fight Goliath? Where was Saul? And this is the title of our message. Why didn't Saul fight Goliath? Where was Saul? You think about it. What made Goliath so important is that he was tall. That was a big deal back then. Being tall or being great. The word great literally means big. It's the same word. So King Saul's important because he's so big. That's why people admire and respect him. Remember in 1 Samuel 2:9, the people wanted him because he's head and shoulders. He's the big guy. This was the person that you looked up to fight your battles. He was the tallest one. Another natural advantage that Saul had the fancy armor. Who else has the fancy armor? The average person doesn't have it. Many of the people would just fight with farm equipment. Not everyone even had swords. Having a sword was a benefit. So you got the tall guy that's the king that's supposed to, remember his job was to fight the battles? And he's got the equipment. He's got everything you need to fight Goliath. So where is Saul? Well, I'll tell you where Saul is. Saul is quivering in his tent. He's hiding. Because that's what kind of a person Saul is. King Saul is someone that wants to protect his own interests. And as I look at this passage, it is a very powerful passage because it describes to us leadership. But what do powerful leaders do? Powerful leaders depend on God and not themselves. And this is what my lesson is this evening. Powerful leaders depend on God, not themselves. You see a contrast in the two men's character. And as they face Goliath, he's going to be, for you literature people, a foil. He's going to reveal the main characters and who they really are. As they have to face this loud, large, and boastful man, it's going to reveal what motivates them on the inside. And so we get caught up in Goliath. Goliath is big and dumb, okay? I'm sure he's killed people, but there's not a lot of depth to his character. He doesn't have, like, contrasting emotions, or he never, like, developed. He has, like, no feelings. He's just, like, loud. That's, like, his whole deal. He's ready to kill somebody. And that's, if I say that, that's all that the Bible ever says about him. And that's his, I think that's who he is. And so we see this character. Now, we see David as someone of faith. And he's going to look to God for help. And we see Saul as someone that lives by sight. And he's going to fight with his own wisdom. And we're going to see in this text three signs of a godly leader. What makes someone a good leader? What makes someone really make a difference the way that David made a difference that day? And we're going to see three. When we get through three, then we'll be done. Okay? And hopefully you'll still be awake by then. All right, number one, sign of a spiritual leader. Spiritual leaders need God's blessing, not man's approval. A spiritual leader is someone that needs God's blessing and not man's approval. Remember, had Saul lived up to what God had commanded him? Had Saul followed God's commands? He had not. Okay, at a number of points, he veered away from what God had said. And remember, in chapter 15, he's supposed to wipe out the Amalekites. But using his own logic, his own reason, he makes some adjustments to God's plan. And he tries to manipulate circumstances and the situation and the people. And so rather than trusting in God to bring the victory, He's going to use his own devices, his own means. And as a result of this, God's going to withdraw the blessing that he had put on him earlier. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." God had rejected his leadership. Of course, Saul was fearful, right? Because he's trying to figure out the human situation. He's trying to read the room and figure out what can I do, what can I get away with, what can I get by with. And he's looking at it from a human perspective. And from a human perspective, Goliath looks pretty big. And so it says that he's trembling in fear, right? So this is who he is, okay? He's looking to his own understanding, his own wisdom. And our own understanding, our own wisdom, we can see what's directly in front of us. Matter of fact, it can be jarring at times and make us afraid. But there's something that he's missing, right? And that is, when we trust in God's wisdom, God sees around the corners of life. There's things that humanly I'm not aware of. That was actually a big understatement. There are many things that I'm not aware of in life, okay? I miss things all the time. I have to get reminders, right? Because there's things that I forget or I don't realize. And that's where I have to depend on the Lord, right, if I'm going to be successful. Because God remembers the things that I don't remember. And God's aware of things that I'm not aware of. And how many times is it the Lord wants to bless us that we just have to just stick with it? And it's just there, just out of sight, but it's still there. God has something special for us. And so this is where we see the contrast. We see, on the other hand, David, remember, he receives God's blessing in the same chapter 16. And Timnah took the whole of Israel and led him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And from that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Remember, David was carried out by his own family. He had brothers who seemed more talented than he did. And so when it came time to anoint a new king, and Samuel saw the brothers that Jesse marched out, he's like, this has got to be it. And the Lord's like, not so. It's not who you think. And he goes to the brothers, and he's confused. And he asks, is there any more? Well, there's one that keeps sheep. Right here, they've already counted out David, haven't they? So I would say if you knew David back then, you know, maybe he wasn't that impressive for someone to look at, okay? But what did David have? He had a heart of faith, and he had God's blessing. And that's all he really needed. And, you know, what they say, let's not little as much when God's in it. And how often does God use the little that we have, like the boy with the loaves and fishes, and he's able to feed a multitude. And so David has God's blessing. And so how does this affect the way that David thinks? Well, David's going to have confidence, right? Because he's saying, you know, I'm where I should be, and I'm doing what I should be. And so God's going to take his part. As I act in faith, he's going to honor my efforts. And so David has faith and confidence in the Lord. And, you know, I think to myself, I'd be like a little bit nervous or a little bit fearful, like I think I would be. But there's really no indication of any kind of fear, which I think is amazing. Maybe because he's a teenager, though. Maybe he's not learned to be fearful. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but he had all this confidence in the Lord, and he's showing maturity beyond his years. And, you know, he doesn't live in fear. And when the king questions him, you know, imagine sitting down with the king of Israel. Like, you really want to go up against that guy? He's like, yeah, I killed a lion and a bear once. Like, well, that's pretty impressive, right? He's got a resume of trusting in God, and God came through for him in the past. He thinks, well, wouldn't it happen again? And this is someone that has their faith in the Lord. And they don't have to be fearful. And I hope that's how you are. I hope as things come up in life, and you see the circumstances, hope that you're not trying to figure it out or trying to make life work. I hope that you have, you know, I'm going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to let him take care of it, okay? If I'm supposed to have this, I'll have this. If I'm not supposed to, I won't. But I can have this confidence in God and what he's going to do. I hope that's how you act in your life. I hope that's how you think. I hope that you've accepted that you need God's blessing more than just humans to do what they're supposed to do for you or the circumstance to quickly align to just how you want it. I hope that you realize that God is the most important person to please, and that's where your trust ultimately is. And we may work on circumstances or people, but that's not where my faith is, right? I hope that your faith is ultimately in a God who put you where you're at. So you see about spiritual leaders, the first of all is that the spiritual leader looks for God's blessing. Number two, the spiritual leader focuses on addressing problems rather than protecting their self-interests. The spiritual leader is going to be like, what needs to be done, right? And that's where the focus is. 17 verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid, right? Oh, man, I can't do this. I got to stay back here in the tent. What happens to David on the other hand? And David says, verse 32, to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. My servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I love this guy. The confidence, right? What a blessing. But you know what? We should all have the same mentality that if there's a problem and I'm a person that's going to help, I need to go and try to help with that problem. Now, maybe I'm not the ultimate solution. I need to see, what can I do? If I can talk to people, if I can address it, if I can meet a need, that needs to be the direction that I go in. And so I'm going to give you guys 1 minute, and I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them this, okay? I want you to tell them that spiritual leaders run the problems, okay? Spiritual leaders run the problems. I'm going to give you a minute here. Talk to the person next to you and go. Yeah. All right, we got this down. I think that'll make you laugh. That was a good one. But yeah, isn't it our natural inclination to run from problems? Or if you meet someone that's immature, maybe they have problems, and what happens? They just avoid the area. Oh, I got to run from this. You meet someone that's a leader, what's going to happen? They're going to say, how do I address this? How do I deal with it? Now, they can't always solve it, right? But how do I improve the situation? How do I help this person? How do I make this better? What can I do to contribute positive to make this go in the right direction? A spiritual leader is going to run towards the problem, and that's who David is. Saul is hiding from problems, right? He's in the tent. He's not doing anything in the tent. And he has this title of king, this position of importance. But in this moment, he's as worthless as anybody else. Having a title didn't do him any good. And I would encourage you that we tend to fall in love with titles and positions. And I think we need titles and positions. I'm not undermining that. But I feel like in the church, all the members are important, not just the person in charge. Matter of fact, you can have imperfect leaders, and you can still succeed as a church. Did you know this? You don't have to wait for the perfect person to come along. Oh, man. And I've been in situations where there was no active pastor, yet the church was still growing and thriving. And why was that? It was because the members themselves, they took their role seriously. Okay? Now, I appreciate the pastor that we have. This is not where this talk is going at all. But I hope that we do appreciate the way that David acted that day and that he was the leader and how he acted. And whether the people around us are all the public leaders, we need to be the example and set for others in how we act. Not that we have to be in control or have power, but that we want to do the right thing, we want to step up. And God can use that in mighty ways, as God did back then. And even his brothers didn't want him there. Didn't matter. He was determined to do what God wanted. Now, to do God's will, to focus on his problems, David had to face danger. If you're going to follow God's will, if you're going to deal with spiritual issues, spiritual problems, you're going to face things that may make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you feel awkward at times. I don't know. Now, however uncomfortable you feel, you probably feel as uncomfortable as David felt, okay? Having a 9-foot giant that has a spear and wants to kill you, it'd be a little bit harder for me to be excited about, okay? But for us, I mean, we do face oppositions in small ways, don't we, as believers? And I think even in our country today, you know, you see more of an anti-Christian bent in government, unfortunately. And those forces are out there. But, you know, those things aren't the main thing that you face, is it? I think the main battles that we face in the American church today is just facing things that make us uncomfortable. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's dealing with someone that we're not close to, or, you know, just doing something that's hard for us that would cut into time that we want for something else. For us, even being uncomfortable, for some of us, that would be stretching for us, okay? As you follow God's will, God may lead you somewhere that you may not be 100% comfortable. God may ask you to do something where you may not have the most talents to shine. And God may put you in a spot where maybe you're not good at it, and maybe you're trying to help, but maybe there's the more skilled person. You're like, why can't the more skilled person come? Well, maybe there's not a more skilled person coming, right? Maybe that's you. Maybe you are it, and you've got to figure out a way to make this all work out, okay? The Lord can help you, can't he? And we need to have our focus on, it's not about me feeling comfortable, it's me helping, it's me pointing in the right direction, and let the Lord use that. And you know, the Lord can do great things. The Lord can do great things. And, you know, I'm always amazed at people that take on difficult tasks, and it's like they succeed, you know? And the Lord looks out for them somehow. And I know in my own life, the Lord has watched out for me many times, right? And I'm sure for you as well. You know, as we proceed by faith, how many of you have faced like a possible, impossible situation, or maybe it's a conversation you need to have, and you're like, I don't know how to bring this up, I don't want their feelings, but it needs to be said. And then one thing leads to another, and they ask you a question, and you're like, we're here. And how did that happen? Or they bring up something about their family, and you're able to help them, and they're open, and you're like, I didn't see that conversation coming, but wasn't nearly as scary as I thought. And the Lord went to bat for you, doesn't he? The Lord has a way going to bat for us as believers. What a blessing that is. So we see this about leaders. We talk about leaders, that they seek God's approval or remains. We saw, secondly, that spiritual leaders are going to address problems. They don't just want to protect themselves. Number three, spiritual leaders defend God's name rather than seek earthly reward. Spiritual leaders want to defend God's name.
Saul says in verse 25, the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. How's Saul going to get out of the situation? You give away free stuff, right? You have a spiritual problem, you just give away a lot of money, or in this case, family as well. Go to this nice man, young lady, maybe says this to his daughter, I don't know. But this is how he's going to resolve this, right? And it just shows the way that Saul thinks and the way Saul's motivated. It's a material problem. It's a material circumstance. If I can just spend more money, I can work my way out of the situation. Okay? His focus is in the wrong place. What's David's focus? Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what should be done to the man that killed his Philistines? And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? And how is he allowed to talk this way? Why is this all right? How have we all accepted this? This is crazy. So we should do something, right? So how does David think? David is thinking about the Lord and the Lord's honor and spreading God's glory. And he wants people to know who his God is. It's not just a financial transaction for him. His whole focus is, how can I make God look great through this? And you know, there is something freeing, because I think naturally we cling to who we are and our reputations and our images and what are people going to think. But the truly freeing part of life as a Christian is to stand up for what God thinks. Where is God at? And how is he being represented? And at the end of the day, does it really matter what people think about me? What if people like me or didn't like me? Is that the most important thing? And you know, the Lord can show us through circumstances. At some point, I think, hopefully, as you go through life, you'll have people that agree or disagree. But at some point, you have to say, this is what's right, the Lord's on it, I have to keep going. And there's something freeing about not worrying what people think. You're right, this is just man's opinion. Ultimately, I have to live up to what God thinks about me and what's his opinion. And as you do that, there's something very freeing and very liberating, right? And I don't have to worry, okay? It is in God's hands. I've done what I can do. And this is where David's at. He's here to spread God's glory, and he's here to represent God. He's not here for material prosperity. And as he does this, as he puts God first, what happens? And the Lord will bless his efforts. This life comes and goes, gaining more possessions. Okay, you die with more possessions or less possessions, but at some point it's left on this earth to corrode, or maybe your kids fight over it, I don't know. But earthly reward is temporary. We have eternity with heavenly reward. Let's live for the glory of God, not for our own glory, our own reputation, what people think of us. Let's put God first. And now we come to the conclusion. I told you that'd keep you. In conclusion, so whose approach did God honor? What brought success? We see that David here, obviously, he's a great hero. His name is spoken every year during March Madness to this day. The David and Goliath analogy. We all talk about it. Even secular culture recognizes this guy from the Bible because of the victory God wrought. And he'll always be remembered for the great victory. A shepherd boy saves an entire nation, right? Just think about the honor that's due his name. In the annals of military history, he's got to be at the top, right? David versus Goliath. And that we always think of this, David. So God used a great victory. And even in the next chapter, we see the women singing. And what are they singing? They sing, Saul's slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so we see that these two people, Saul was more exalted, David was a shepherd boy. They're going to face Goliath. One's going to live by sight, one's going to live by faith. One's going to step up, one's going to hide, and what's going to happen? They're going to switch places. Now suddenly the shepherd boy is the honored one. And the king is a useless figurehead, right? And people try to figure out he's the king, we'll succeed anyways, but that's what people are thinking here. And the difference is that one had faith, and so we see how they switched places. I think of the words that Christ spoke in Matthew 6:33. What does Jesus say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we put God first, we'll have all the things that we need. We make that our focus. When we focus on things, we're always trying to catch up and keep up and organize and put things together, but it's never quite enough. We have to put our focus where it counts. Well, can we read this verse together? I'll start reference, verse, reference. I don't have any hand motions. I'm not like Mike Schrock here, but we can still answer this. All right, ready? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. I hope that you put God first, not just well-being or comfort, not just finding the best possible life. I hope that you put God's honor and glory above all the other things that you do. And as you put God first in your life, proceeding by faith, having the courage to trust him, what happens? The Lord will come through for us, won't he? Just like he came through for David. Let's bow our heads. Now, I don't know what's in your heart. Maybe you're here in the service. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never taken that first step of receiving God, being born again, and you'd like to make that decision today or talk to someone. Can you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone here like that? Just raise your hand for a second. All right, question number two. Maybe there's an area in your life, and maybe you struggle to step up like David. Maybe you're like Saul. Maybe you're playing it safe and hiding from a problem. And you want the Lord to do a great thing. You want to trust the Lord and have him work through you to try to deal with that situation, that problem, and stand for the Lord. I don't know what it is. It could be different. It could be something at school, at work. It could be something at home. I don't know where that crisis is or that problem is. But you want to be a leader like David today. And maybe you struggle, but you need the Lord to give you courage today. Would you just lift your hand up for 1 second? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone here like that? Okay, number of hands. Thank you. Let's pray. Hey, Father, we thank you for this example in Scripture of someone that was a great man of God, in David, and how you worked in his life and how you used him. And Lord, you gave him the talents and the abilities to be successful as he trusted you. Help us to do the same. And give us courage and strength that we would be bold as lions. And Lord, help us to realize that by you by our side, we can defeat even the most fearful thing. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name,